All right, little ones are going out. Miss Dixie's taking them to go have fun. But we're going to have fun here. We're grown-ups. There's still some kids here, but they're going to listen. And we've got 30 minutes. Can I even do it in 30 minutes? Everybody, no, you can't do it. I know. I probably can't. We're going to try. And we're going to roll our sleeves up, and we're going to get into God's Word. The greater part of our worship time is to sit and listen to what God has said to us. Remember, the greatest act of worship is to listen. The greatest reverence you can give to somebody is to listen to what they have to say and obey them. And we're going to listen to the Lord here now. And if we all apply our hearts to this, in prayer the Holy Spirit will show us, we're all going to learn something this morning in this passage in Romans 15, 18 through 21. Now, when we're talking about the church, we've just done something what the church does. We worship, and we do part of this in one of the ordinance, the order that Christ has given us to observe the supper. And there's people here who do believe that his body was broken, his blood was shed for salvation. And it's as if the Apostle Paul has established this church, and we're doing church ministry here. And we need to be faithful in that, making disciples and worshiping the Lord and living for him. But what is the real job that we have? We say, why am I here? What is the purpose? Well, look, the purpose includes what we're doing and worshiping, but our job, see, is the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the mission or the job, the work that the church has to do. And remember, everything we do at Village Bible Church, every service, every activity, every gathering, revolves around this Great Commission work. And when we start to understand that in our personal lives, then we start to order our lives around this Great Commission work. Look, that's why he left us here. That's why we're a witness and a testimony. And one great indication that someone truly knows the Lord is by your heart's desire to share him with others. You start to realize, well, I know him. That means I know some people who don't know him. And they need to. And I want to share Christ because he's the greatest thing that I have. I've got to share him. They have to know this. It's the difference in eternity of life and death for them. And if you have a burden for the lost, for your friend, his loved ones that don't know Christ, you might be saved, see? That's an indication. And we're looking here at a ministry that includes Great Commission work for the church. This is what Paul is speaking about here as we're looking at how he is giving teaching that we're gaining from what a church does and how it operates. And here we're seeing the Great Commission is the mission of the church, that we have a ministry we must fulfill here at Village Bible Church. Let's gain this by what the Apostle Paul teaches us. He's our apostle. He's apostle to the Gentiles here this morning. I'm going to read verses 18 through 21. That's going to be our text. We'll pick up a little bit from the previous message in verse 18 in context and go down through 19 through 21. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. Let's have a prayer blessing before we begin our time. Father, we pray that there would be a blessing in the Word of God for us today, that our spirits would be tentative to your Spirit, that your Spirit would move to show us what this truth is in the Scripture, how it can apply in our life, that we'd be a part of this church that is fulfilling a ministry you've given to us, that work of the Great Commission to see souls saved, to be a witness and a testimony in a lost world. Help us to see and understand this through our Apostle Paul and the record of his ministry for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we learned last week that a Christian minister's boast, what we can share with the Apostle Paul, is that through him, through the minister, a man or woman, Christ has brought about disciples who are obeying him. Let's turn real quick to 1 Thessalonians 2. I just wanted to include this because I only noted it last week. I just want us to lay eyes on it to give us a little background as we move into this this next passage, but 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20, you see how the apostle says, what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. You see, it's the people that are the result of the work. It's not that you come to the end of your ministry and you boast about all the sacrifices you've made, all the work that you've done. But we understand that it's the people that were the end result. The people were the goal. And Paul said it was that the people that he rejoiced in. This crown of rejoicing is a reward given to those who have a burden for witnessing for one, sharing Christ with others. The reward is for those who invest themselves into other people. If you're a Sunday school teacher here, it's not about all the labors that you've done and spent the many hours and the crafty lessons you've put together, but it's about those little souls that you've touched. And some of them you may never fully know. There are Sunday school teachers in my life that will receive a reward for what they put into my life when I was really unresponsive as a child. Just a child. I understood it as a child level. I didn't get saved till later. But they played a part in that. And we see that it's the people. When Paul talked about the reward at the judgment seat, and he was building with wood, hay, and stubble, or precious stones, it was building into people. It all is involved in people's lives and in the church's life. And this is why an encouragement is to get involved in Village Bible Church and any participation that you have in the body, as part of the body, you'll receive a reward for. Because Christ is looking in His body, and it's the people. It's the people that He's working on that matter the most. And that's the boast. And this was the Apostle Paul's boast. But look what he says here. Go back to Romans 15. To make the Gentiles obedient. And he refers to in mighty signs and wonder by the power of the Holy Spirit. These mighty signs and wonders do refer to the miraculous power of the Spirit of God given to the apostles. They were miraculous powers that the apostles had. And the Bible teaches that the Lord gave these supernatural miracles to the apostles so that it would confirm their message. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12:12, when Paul is dealing with the Corinthians because their ear is getting tickled by some others, and they're kind of turning away from Paul and listening to other people. We ought not to do that. We don't turn away from the Word of God. Paul penned this. We don't turn away from our apostle and listen to others. And that's the sign of a cult, because you're listening to someone else who is providing for you a message of God and not God's sanctioned ministers, who are the apostles. We have their written word here. So it comes back to the Bible. Paul says, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Paul said, you saw me do these things. Have you forgotten? He did the miracles that confirmed his apostleship. And the mighty deeds that he did, you know, if you go back to Acts, you see in Acts 19, it said, in Ephesus, it said, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought to him, or brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Unusual, miraculous wonders and mighty deeds. In Acts 16, remember when Paul was in prison in Philippi, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. What a mighty deed. That man that's in there is being in prison unjustly. He's got a word to say, and God will not let it be bound. He'll even break down the chains and the walls of this prison to let him out and preach it. Imagine what Paul said when that's the kind of thing he said when he got out of there. And then in Acts 28, one of my favorite stories, at the end of the book of Acts, and Paul was headed to Rome under arrest. They shipwreck on the island of Malta and is gathering sticks for the fire, and the natives are there watching him. They don't know Christ. And it was a viper that comes out, a serpent that comes out and bites him, latches onto him. And they say, oh, that's a bad omen. This man have done something that now he survived the shipwreck, but the gods have got justice on him, and now he's going to die from a snake bite. Surely he's done something wrong. He's an evil man. What did Paul do, says, to that serpent latched onto him? In Acts 28:5, it says, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. The The gospel will not be bound, it will not be stopped. Apostle Paul established that as miracles. Do you believe those miracles from him? Do you? I do. Do you need to see more miracles today? I don't. These miracles are recorded in the books of Acts for us. The book of Acts is a record of the establishment of the church, the apostolic work of laying the foundation for the church. And so this is what we see to verify their record. Now remember, the power of the Spirit of God was not only in these signs and wonders and miracles of Paul, but also in his preaching and his testimony that went along with his preaching, who he was, how he acted, how he demonstrated the life of Christ in him, his testimony, what God's Word and the gospel did for him, how he lived it. The preaching and testimony of the gospel, that's the power of the Holy Spirit at work. It's not limited. If you look at the context here, it says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not limited to the mighty signs and wonders. It's also referring to those words and deeds he's speaking about in verse 18. So that when Paul went and preached, when Paul taught Timothy, when he charged him to do the work in the church, that there would be further ministry that needed to be done, and we learn as pastors or ministry leaders the model of Timothy or Titus. He tells Timothy, and then all of us need to understand this, when we do our ministry now, we're not apostles, but Paul says to us through Timothy, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. He doesn't mention the miraculous work because that's not where the key was. That was just a part of what he did to verify his message. More important was his message and his testimony of that message. In 2 Timothy 1, he says in the same book to Timothy, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The good thing, that's the gospel. The gospel message. The good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That's our church ministry now. We're not apostles, but we're carrying on that work in our church ministry. To keep the gospel, to further the gospel. And how do we do it? It says, by the Holy Spirit, the same power. The same power that is available in Paul, not to do his signs and wonders, but the same power that was working in Paul in his mighty deeds, word and deeds, is available to us that we have as we hold the gospel and keep the gospel, preach the gospel, and that a testimony of our lives line up with that gospel. So when we say we're preaching that Christ is the Son of God, he can change your life, save you, born again, transform your life, you can live for God, they say, oh yeah, then we are the first people that model that. They look at us and we show them what that looks like. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that? Amen. I can't do that on my own. We need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. He says, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. What we're getting here is some insight into Paul's mindset in his apostolic mission. The way that Paul looked at how he fulfilled his ministry. The idea of fully preached is Paul is talking about to fully performed. In Paul's mindset, he's not wrong about this. We're learning something from it. He said, I finished my work. I did what I was charged, commanded, appointed to do, and that's to fully preach the gospel in these areas. When it says from Jerusalem to Illyricum, it's an arc that covers the whole eastern half of the Roman Empire. If you have your maps, you can look in the back of your map and you can find Jerusalem. If you kids want to do that, you can look in the back of your Bible and you can find your map and you can find the city of Jerusalem. Be on the right side of the map, down low. Look at the map that shows Paul's apostle journeys. In most of those maps, you won't even see Illyricum because we don't have a record of him going there directly. But evidently he did at some point have a reach out into Illyricum. We are listed, you'll see the little squiggly lines for the cities that are listed in Acts that he went to in his journeys. But Illyricum is a little further west and a little bit further north than what's on some of your maps, unless you have a bigger map. It's the area you old-timers remember on the old world map, the country of Yugoslavia. That's a long time ago. I can tell how old people are. Who in here remembers Yugoslavia? You're old. You look at the younger kids, you go, what? They don't even remember the car. They don't even remember the car. Some people don't know, remember the Yugo? Yugo. What'd you say? Was it a Yugo, right? Am I getting that right? Eight Hugo? Oh. Yeah. Yugoslavia, here's the current countries now. We could test the kids on their geography here. We got some younger ones, but you older ones need to know where Bosnia, Herzegovina, I thought I was going to say that, Herzegovina is at, Bosnia, Serbia, Croatia, Slovenia, Kosovo, portions of other countries called Albania and Montenegro. That's the part of Europe, really, that's between Greece and Italy. Okay, so once you went, that's the land. Once you pass out of Illyricum, you actually go down into Rome's primary territory. Okay, it's an arc from Jerusalem roundabout like that. And look, it's important to understand what he's saying. He says, "I fully preached the gospel." Paul considered this area fully reached. This is important for our missions understanding or for church plant ministry. It's interesting to get this. He considered this area fully reached, even though he did not preach in every city. He didn't. I mean, he even bypassed some cities on purpose. God even kept him from going into certain cities. Remember, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go into Bithynia? Is that right? He didn't preach in every city. He didn't establish a church in every city. Even though there was not a church planted in every city. And so that even when he made this statement, it's not like, well, I didn't go to every city, but there is a church in every city. That didn't even happen. And even though his converts were not fully discipled, he stayed in Thessalonica for 3 months. There's a lot more for them to learn. By the way, it's impressive what he wrote to them. If you read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, have in the back of your mind when you go through a reading of it, that Paul was just there for 3 months, and look at the things he's saying to them. And then consider, well, what do I know? Well, we need to keep learning a lot. Paul taught a lot in that 3 months. But they weren't really fully discipled. They weren't mature churches. But he considered that he had fully preached the gospel. Church plant ministry is different than the ministry we're doing here. We are a planted church. We have a ministry, but it includes the discipling of people. It includes the gathering of the saints to observe the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. It's a continual work that we have. We still have an area to reach. This church would have been planted in Salina, and I realize there's other Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches in Salina. We have a people to reach in this part of Kansas, in our own community, in Salina, and county, and the area. And we're to further that work. But Paul's apostolic foundational church planting work was meant to just get a church started. And he did this in an arc in the eastern half of the Roman Empire. That's why it says later, we're going to learn about in verse 24, his journey to Spain. He had mindset on the western half of the Roman Empire. Probably would have circled around and caught Africa too, had he lived long enough. It says next, "And I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." You see, Paul was working to complete the apostolic mission Christ had given him. Christ had called him as an apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul had a, what do they call, laser focus. Isn't that what our politicians say? I'm trying to say it because I'm tired of hearing them say it. That's what he meant. He had a laser focus on his ministry. Yeah, he left Titus and Timothy to do further ministry. There were others, Apollos, and those men had ministry in the churches. But he was an apostle, and he was doing foundational work, and he focused on his calling that God had given him. It says in Ephesians 2:20, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." We understand the apostles have had a foundational work to establish a church. Do you think Paul succeeded in establishing the church, him and the other apostles? Do you think he did? Yeah. I think they did, even though the whole world wasn't reached. But Christianity had been established. By the end of the first century, when the Apostle John, the last living apostle, passed away, the church was fully built on a foundation. The New Testament letters had been written. The New Testament was completed. There were discipled people. The doctrine of the gospel had been established. Remember Acts 15? They worked through some issues from the Old Testament to the New and to Christ. They worked through a lot of things. And then now the ministry was left for the churches to go further, to continue, to finish. Look, Paul was not only, it's important, here's another thing we need to understand. Paul was not only motivated by his compassion for lost souls, but this is important, but for his also his apostolic calling to establish a foundation for the church. We talked about this in Sunday school. If the only motivation we have is our feelings about a ministry, then that's not going to be strong enough to get us through the difficult times. And if you've done any ministry, if you've done ministry for people, you realize that sometimes your compassion, your feelings for them really run thin. And you need something more firm to hold on to. And it's our faith in God's promises. And Paul understood that God was using the apostles. There was a mission that he had given them. And that they would be successful because God commissioned those apostles to establish the foundation. It was but for him to obey and walk in it. And it would be done. And it was much more than his compassion for the lost. It was his burden, his understanding that he had. He had a calling. He had a purpose and a mission. And he was going to do it. You see, evangelism, now let's apply here. Evangelism and church planting to unreached people is foundational work. And today there are people who catch hold of this burden to continue the foundational work that the apostles had because they literally didn't reach every corner of the earth, did they? And even today there are unreached peoples. The Gideons goes a long way in handing out the scriptures in the various languages, and they pursue the translation of more scriptures into other languages, and even the ones that they have in French and some of the main English, some of the main languages around the world can reach people who understand those languages. And it would be for Gideon to have the desire that every people group would be holding the scriptures in their hand. You have organizations like the Gideons who distribute God's word. You have William Carey, who is credited in the 1800s, in the beginning of the modern-day mission movement, when he caught fire of this Great Commission work to go, and that there needed to be foundation work done to peoples who didn't know Christ, where there was no church and no one knew of Jesus, and someone had to go, and the Lord caught his spirit, and he was in a church meeting, and he began to speak of these things. And the man who said this had to live with these words. I'd never heard if he changed his mind, but he told young William Carey, he said, "Sit down, young man. You are an enthusiast. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without consulting you or me." Is that scriptural? That is not scriptural. Certainly God is sovereign over his gospel message and people who receive it and so forth, but it's for us. He does that through us, and it's for us to catch this burden to say, I need to take this gospel to the lost. I need to take to the unreached. I need to take up this foundational church planting work. You see, so one more thing. There's a 1040 window. Dr. Way and Wayne Johnson works with them. There are ministries working into the 1040 window, which is a Muslim area in Northern Africa across the Middle East. You have the Amazon peoples that Gary Parker is reaching. There are villages on the Amazon who don't have churches. You have the Amazon natives that live, tribals, people that live in the Amazon jungle who don't have churches, don't have the scriptures, don't have the gospel. They need to hear. Someone needs to go to them. And Brother Wayne in September will be bringing in a man from India named Lordson. I didn't catch his first name. He has a church in India. Do you know there's 1.4 billion people in India? I should have looked, but maybe you heard on the news. It's getting ready to overtake China as the most populous nation. And only about 2.5% are Christian. And that's just any kind of Christian, not necessarily Bible-believing Christian. That means there's 35 million Christian religious adherents in India. That means there's still over a billion people who live in the nation of India who don't know Christ. There's still foundational work that needs to be done in the nation of India. The motivation that a man or a woman might have to do this foundational work needs to not be only in their compassion for the lost. That's part of it. But you see what Paul did? This is why he quoted a Bible verse. He himself had to rest on God's word. He himself understood that it was God's eternal plan and his prophetic word to always reach the peoples. That someone needed to go because God had it that people would be saved. That people in Salina, Kansas would believe. Someone needed to go to them and tell them, and there would be people in Salina who would believe the message. And he says in verse 21, as it is written, To whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. And we read that verse. And you know what's interesting about that verse, tucked in about that description of Jesus and his suffering on the cross in Isaiah 53, the very first verse of Isaiah 53, when it goes on to describe the suffering servant in really one of the key chapters of the whole New Testament, starts off with this statement: Lord, who has believed our report? In the midst of this unbelief of the nation of Israel, God promised that there would be Gentiles. There would be people who never heard of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who've never heard of the Son of God, David's son, Jesus, who's the Messiah for Israel. They've never heard that God had a saving plan for humanity. Those people shall see. Those who have not heard shall understand that God would save souls. That gospel needed to be preached because people would believe. And there's a continuation of the foundational work that must be done. I wonder if even today in a gathering like this, it's possible that the Lord could begin to put a burden on the heart of a Christian to say, I think I need to be involved in that foundation work. I can't dismiss it. I know most that are here. I know all the young ones are here. And we have to be prepared, brother and sister, our parents, to say, you know what? Our children, God might call one of our children to do foundational work. That's some of the most dangerous missionary work that there are. It's good missionary work to go where the church is established and churches need help doing their work. But what about going into the deep jungle of the Amazon or into some uncharted island in the South Pacific to reach a people's group? A place in Africa where they have no church. One of our children may be called to do that. And parents, we need to be ready to give our children up to the Lord. We need to be encouraging them. They need to serve the Lord in any way, in His church today, in Salina, Kansas, wherever the Lord may call. You see, the church, all of us, have to share this same burden that it's not just about what we're doing here in Salina, our little location, but it also continues to be a global, worldwide mission. That there's foundational work that still needs to be done across the world. And this is what this passage is teaching. You see, a missionary gets his confidence and motivation to do foundation work from the promises that there will be some who believe the gospel and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Want to go reach those people? My first application on that is, it may not be foundational work. Salina, the city, does have a gospel witness in it. But aren't there souls out there in this town of almost 50,000? There are people out there who have never heard the gospel. I guarantee it. I've ran into some. You ever ran into anyone that literally knew nothing about Jesus, knew nothing about the church, knew nothing about the Bible? You're working with some of those people. You may be related and live on the same street as some of those people. They literally know nothing. And who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? You see, we have... It may not be foundational, but by application, we're the church here. The Apostle Paul, if Mary, just think of it this way. Think of the larger picture. He came in, he planted a church right here, Village Bible Church. He's our apostle. And he says, I'm going on. I got apostolic. I got my ministry to do, apostle ministry. I'm going on. I'm going to plant some more. You guys, you people stay here. You brothers and sisters stay here. You got your ministry to do. You need to finish reaching Salina. You need to be a witness and a testimony in Salina. You need to raise up your children for the Lord. You need to gather together on the Lord's Day and observe the ordinances and worship. Someone in that town needs to be singing unto the Lord and worshiping Him and giving Him praise. That's what we do, right? That's our ministry here at Village Bible Church. You see, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. We get to do the greater work. Seems like it might be a great work to do apostolic signs and wonders, but the greater work that Jesus talked about was preaching that gospel message. The greater miracle of preaching the gospel to a lost soul who's dead in sin, and when they hear the words that God gave to you to speak, they're His words, but He let you speak them, and you speak them, and those words enliven him, quicken him so that he comes alive. That's power. The Holy Spirit's miraculous power to cause a dead person to live, someone who's blind to see. That's power. That's the power we share. And that's the greater work, the gospel work. End with this illustration. Preacher was asked about whether or not there were these miraculous signs done in his church. He said, "No, brother, we don't have those miraculous signs and wonders today in our church. We don't turn water into wine in our church. But when we preach the gospel, we have some there in whom which we've turned booze into milk for the babies." You get that? Get that? We get to preach a message that caused dead men to live and men who live in sin to turn to Christ and live for Him with changed lives. We got a ministry to do. Brother and sister, Paul completed his ministry. Now that ministry is continued by some. Maybe God will call some from here to go into uncharted, unchurched, unreached areas and plant a church. But I know and think most of us will be right here. Paul did his ministry. We've got to fulfill our ministry. Are we ready to do that? There are souls here to reach. There are people here to be discipled. Let's do our ministry.